അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹി റബ്ബിൽ ആലമീൻ വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലാ സയ്യിദിൽ മുർസലീൻ അമ്മാ ബാദ് ഫഔദു ബില്ലാഹി മിനശ് ശൈത്വാനിർ റജീം ബിസ്മില്ലാഹിർ റഹ്മാനിർ റഹീം പ്ലീസ് റിപ്പീറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ മീ അസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലൈക യാ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് വഅലാ ആലിക വസ്ഹാബിക യാ ഹബീബല്ലാഹ് വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലൈക യാ നബിയല്ലാഹ് وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Please also repeat after me نويت سنة الاعتكاف My dear Islam brothers, whenever you're blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, then always try and enter according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would always enter with his right foot. Upon entering, he would recite the dua for entering the masjid, and then he would make intention for nafil itikaf. Hence the reason I ask you to say nawaitu sunnatul itikaf. You can make this intention in any language. You can make this intention in your heart. We made this intention in Arabic today. But by making this intention for the duration that you spend in the masjid, even if it's only one moment, it will be written in your record of deeds that you spent that time in nafil itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable for you and you get the reward as well. So a small amount of effort, but a huge amount of reward, inshaAllah. There are also many blessings on reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the closest individual to me on the day of judgment shall be the one who recited Durood e Paak upon me the largest in the quantity in this dunya. Sallu ala al-habib. So my dear Islam brother, who doesn't want to be close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day where nobody will be able to help you except with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to make a habit of reciting Durood e Paak as often as possible. Who knows that extra Durood e Paak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. It is narrated in a book that's been published by Maktabat al-Madina, the name of the book is Ayun Halaqayat. Meaning there are many stories, many fascinating stories, and I request you to try and download this book or purchase this book. But one such event that's narrated in this book is as follows. It stated that Hazrat Sayyidina Khuld bin Ayyub, rahmatullahi ta'ala, narrates that a pious Israelite believer, he worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal for 60 years on the top of a mountain. One night he heard in a dream, and in the dream he heard that so-and-so cobbler, a cobbler is someone that repairs shoes, so-and-so cobbler is more devout, more pious than you. So when he woke up the next morning, he thought to himself, well, it's only a dream. It's not really makes a lot of difference. It's only a dream. So then the next night he heard that dream again. So-and-so cobbler is more devout, more pious than you. And again, the next day, and for a few days continuously, he kept on hearing this dream. So he decided to come down from the mountain and find this devout cobbler and find and ask him, what is it that he does? Why is he so pious in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, where he's someone that's repairing his shoes, and yet I'm sitting on a mountain worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal non-stop for 60 years, and yet I'm being told that this person who repairs shoes is more devout than me, more pious than me. So he comes and he finds the cobbler. And the cobbler, when he saw the pious person, he stood up out of respect. And he said to him, what has caused you to descend from your sanctuary? What has caused you to come down from the mountain? And the pious Israelite said that you are the reason that I've come down. The man replied, I've been informed that in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, you are more elevated than me. Hence I decided to pay you a visit. Tell me what action has caused you to be honored in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a person that's been worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal for 60 years in a mountain, and he comes down to meet this person who repairs his shoes, who he has been told by Allah Azza wa Jal, this person is more pious than you. The cobbler, he remained silent as he did not wish to disclose anything. Eventually he disclosed his secret. He says, I don't do anything special other than the fact that I occupy my entire day with making efforts to earn halal livelihood. And I abstain from haram earnings. And then whatever Allah Azza wa Jal blesses me with that day, I donate half of it in charity and I spend half of it on my family. Secondly, I fast excessively. Apart from these two things, I don't really do anything that's of any worthiness. Following this conversation, the devout worshipper who'd come down from the mountain, he disappeared and he went back. And the next day he had another dream. And in this dream it says, ask the cobbler, go back and ask the cobbler, what has frightened him so much to cause his face to become pale? So he heard this in his dream, and again, because he was intrigued the last time, this time he went down the mountain and found him again. And he said to the cobbler this time, he says, why is your face so pale? Why are you so afraid? Because his face was so pale that he's afraid of something. You know, they say that when people are afraid of something, the skin goes completely white, they're so scared. He had that look on his face, that he had that fear in his face. And the cobbler responded, that whenever I see another individual, I consider him to be superior to me. I consider that he will be a dweller of the paradise, and I am worthy of the hellfire. I consider myself to be the most inferior amongst humans, and the worst sinner of all. I constantly fear the hellfire. This is the reason for the paleness on my face. The devout person, the worshipper, he went back to his mountain. And the narrator, Hazrat Sayyidina Qul bin Ayyub, Ramadullahi ta'ala, further states that the cobbler, he excelled the worshipper on the basis of considering himself to be the worst than others, and considered all others to be destined for heaven except for him. So this particular person, his mindset was that everybody is better than me. Everybody is more worthy of paradise than me. I'm the person that is worthy of the hellfire, nobody else. And so he had this fear. He had this fear inside him that I am going to the hellfire. I'm going to be in that hellfire. Whereas everybody else, no matter what little he bothered to do, in his eyes, they were better than him. And there's a message there for all of us. That when we look at others, instead of looking to them to be better than us, many of us look down on people. We think we are better than anybody else. And because of this, Allah Azza wa Jal elevated the status of this particular person, that he didn't look down on people. He looked up to people and thought, this person is more pious than me, this person is more pious than me, this person is going to heaven, this person is going to heaven, and I'm going to the hellfire. And he had this extreme fear inside him. With regards to this, this is an ayat of the Holy Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O people, we have indeed created you from one man and one woman. And we've made you into various nations and tribes that you may recognize one another. Indeed, the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah Azza wa Jalla, is the one who is most pious amongst you. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla is all-knowing and all-aware. Hakim al-Ummat, Sayyidina Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullah, elaborates on this ayat. He says that mankind originated from Sayyidina Hazrat Adam al-Islam. And he says that since their origin, that Sayyidina Hazrat Adam al-Islam, his origin was soil, was dirt, was clay. And he says that if you are made of clay, why are you boasting about yourself? Why do you think yourself you're so good that you're made of dirt, and yet you think you're it? Do you think you're something special? Explaining the background on the revelation of this sacred ayah, he writes, on a particular day, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was near the market and he saw somebody there. And this person says, whoever employs me shall not ban me from offering my 5 daily salahs behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This person, he made it a condition that whoever gives me a job, I'll take the job on one condition, that you don't stop me from reading my namaz behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it said that one day that this particular servant, he fell ill. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him. And then later on, this particular person, he passed away as well. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there at his burial. And the people, they were shocked, they were saying to him that, why, you know, he's a small individual, he's a servant. And yet, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've gone. You've gone to his burial, you've given him so much time. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam related the same ayat that I read before, and I'll read it out to you again. O people, we have indeed created you from one man and from one woman, and we have made you into various nations and tribes that you may recognize one another. Indeed, the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah Azza wa Jal, is the one who is most pious among you. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. If we look at this particular event that took place where this person that in the eyes of the community, he wasn't a great person, he wasn't a rich person, he wasn't a wealthy person, he wasn't an influential person, he needed a job. What was the condition he put on? That I will work for anybody on this condition. That I read my, nobody stops me from reading my namaz behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 5 times a day. Reflect on ourselves. When we're looking for a job, when we're looking to open a business, how many of us put this condition on ourselves? Okay, I will take a job. I will work whatever you want. I will work night shifts. I'll work day shifts. I'll run a shop. I'll do whatever business you want on the condition that I can read my namaz 5 times a day. How many of us put that condition on ourselves when we're looking for a job? Or is the only condition when we look for a job, do we look at the pound side of the bottle and see how much the salary is? Do we see how many holidays we're going to get? Do we see how many benefits we're going to get? Or do we look at the job and think, you know what, if I had this job, I'll be able to read my Fajr easy enough. If I had this job, I'll be able to take break for Zuhur. If I had this job, I'll be able to read my Asr. If I had this job, I'll be able to read Maghrib. I'll be able to read Isha. Is that the conditions that we have? No. We just look at that pound sign at the bottom. How much are we getting per hour? £10 an hour, that's good. £12 an hour, that's even better. £15 an hour, I'll take it. We don't even look at what the timings are. We don't even look at what effect it's going to have on our life, whether we're going to be able to read our namaz or not. We don't care. We're just bothered about that pound sign. And we need to think about this, my dear brothers. Sayyidina Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala, he's reported that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said that undoubtedly Allah azza wa jal has removed you from vanity and boasting due to the heritage from the ignorant era, from the time of Jahiliyyah. Now there are either pious Muslims or evil and doomed ones. So this arrogance, this pride that we have inside ourselves where we think we are better than anybody else. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are pious Muslims and there are those people who are arrogant, those people who think they're it, those people who think they know everything. So we need to remove this from ourselves. We shouldn't be thinking of ourselves as better than other people as well. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, repeats that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, humans will be made to stand in front of Allah azza wa jal. And Allah azza wa jal will declare, O people, I revealed commandments and you ignored them. You elevated your lineage and you used to brag with each other. Today I declare your lineage to be worthless and insignificant. Where are the pious ones? Where are the pious ones? Undoubtedly the most esteemed amongst you in the merciful sight of Allah Azza wa Jal are the ones who excel in piety. So we're told here that those people who think that, oh, I'm from this brotherhood, I'm from that brotherhood, I'm from this family, I'm from that family, I'm from this caste, I'm from this place, that I am better than you, I am better than you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, none of you is better than anybody, except for the one who is best in the sight of Allah azza wa jal. Who is the best in the sight of Allah azza wa jal? The person who is the most pious. So if you want to compete with each other, we shouldn't be competing with each other who has the best house, who has the best car. We should have this competition, who is pleasing Allah azza wa jal the most? Who is trying to please Allah azza wa jal the most? Allahu Akbar. So we can see, my dear Islamic brothers, the only people who are esteemed in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are the ones that will attain success. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Maryam, part 16, ayat 85, on the day when we shall take the righteous people towards the most gracious as guests. On that day, on this earth, even those blessed people live in unstable homes rather than robust bungalows, people that live in simple places, they are the best people in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal said, and it was said to those who fear, what has your Lord sent down? They said, goodness. Thus for those who did good in this world, there is a goodness for them. And undoubtedly, the final home is the best place. And definitely, what an excellent final home it is for those that are pious. People who are believed to be insignificant on this earth, people that are pushed away from the footsteps, the doorsteps of those people that are rich, people that are pushed away from influential people because, oh, what is he? He's got nothing. He's not a rich person, he's not a wealthy person, he's not an educated person, he's not a person in a position of status, or who we think is not in a position of status. But those people who follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, who offer the salah punctually, who fast and earn and feed their families and a halal livelihood, fear Allah Azza wa Jal and live their lives according to the sunnah, safeguard their eyes and hearts, perform other good deeds as well, they will be treated with tremendous reverence in the afterlife. Them are the people that we should look up to. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was never amazed by anything. Nothing amazed him. When anybody came and anything was brought to him, he wasn't amazed by anything. He said he was never amazed by any worldly thing, but he was always amazed when there was a certain individual who was a pious muqtadi, a person that was a pious muttaqi, a pious person. He was amazed by that person. So that was the only thing that caught the eye, you could say, of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he saw somebody that was devout, was pious, this is what caught the eye of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "The excellence of knowledge is more than the excellence of worship, and the best thing of your deen is taqwa, i.e. piety." Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that someone asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most honorable individual? Who is the best individual? Who is the best person?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "The one who is the most pious amongst people. He is the best person." But in our eyes, who is the best person? In our community, who do we think is the best person? And is it because he comes to the masjid 5 times a day? Is it because we see him sitting in the masjid reading the Quran all day? Is it because we see him living a pious life? If we see him because he's earning a halal income, is he the person that we look up to in our community? Or is it that person that has power, that has influence, that has money, that has the best car, that has the best house, that's got the best position, dunyavi position, the position in this world? Is he the person that we look up to? And unfortunately, that is the person that we look up to. We don't look up to those pious people. Those people who may be in their lives, when you look at them, they're living a simple life. They haven't got the best car, they haven't got the best house, they haven't got the best job, but they have that taqwa inside them. They have that fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside them. They have that piousness inside them, where they're at the masjid every day. They are the best amongst us. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu narrates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do dua. He said, "Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, I implore you to grant me guidance, grant me piety, get me purity and independence, free from all want." Ye bhi ek dua hamare liye hona chahiye, that we should do dua, that we should be free of all needs, free of anything that we need in this dunya. Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yaab Khan Nimei rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates with regards to this particular hadith. He says that the guidance that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to is praiseworthy beliefs. Piety refers to praiseworthy deeds. Purity refers to abstinence from sins, and richness refers to being self-sufficient, only depending on Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this supplication incorporates all of those virtuous needs. So my dear Islam, piety, being pious, is something that we should all try and aspire to. And unfortunately, we don't aspire to be pious. We aspire to be rich, because we realize that within the community, people will look at me. If I have the biggest koti back home, people will look up to me. If I have the biggest house here, people will look up to me. If I have the biggest car here, people will look up to me. But that should not be our goal. Our goal should be to try and be as pious as possible. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala states, he says, "Piety is a rare treasure. If you succeed in acquiring it, you will find invaluable gems and pearls, along with an incredible treasure of knowledge, spiritual fortune, venerated sustenance, remarkable success, incredible blessings, and the ownership of the grand kingdom, i.e. paradise." He goes on to say, think of it this way: piety encompasses all blessings pertaining to this life as well as the afterlife. Just ponder over the glorious Quran, he says. In one place it declares, "If you become pious, you shall own all forms of virtue and blessings." In other places, the Quran promises astounding spiritual rewards for being pious. And in some places, Allah Azza wa Jalla declares piety and devoutness to be the sole route to good fortune. Basically, if you want to be successful, then you need to be pious. And if you want to be pious, then we need to change how we are. We know how to be pious. We know how, as Muslims, how we should live our lives. But if we live our lives as Muslims, as we should live our lives, then that is the success for all of us. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, lists 12 benefits of piety. And he says that these 12 lists come from the glorious Quran. He says, Allah Azza wa Jalla praises the pious individuals. Pious individuals are saved and protected from enemies. Allah Azza wa Jalla supports and helps pious people. Pious people will be guarded from horrors and calamities in the afterlife. On this earth, pious people will be blessed with halal livelihoods. The deeds of pious will get reformed. All sins of a pious person are forgiven due to the blessing of his piety. Pious people become friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Piety elevates the deeds of pious people to the status of acceptance. Pious people deserve reverence and honor in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Pious people are given glad tidings of seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla when they die, along with salvation in the afterlife. Pious people shall remain protected from the fire of hell, along with having the privilege of residing in paradise forever, Allah, forever. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that these 12 blessings of being pious are taken from the Quran. Hazrat Sayyidina Dawud bin Rashid rahmatullahi narrates, once in Syria there lived two handsome people. They themselves narrated this particular event. They were classed as devout people, pious people. They themselves narrated this event. One day, they said that we were terribly hungry, and I said to my companion, let's go to such and such desert, and there we'll preach to the people in order to gain salvation in the afterlife. So they were hungry, but they also decided that we'll go to the desert and we'll meet people there and we'll give them naked kizah, we'll invite them to piety so that we can be successful in the afterlife. So this was their intention. Therefore, we advanced to the desert. Upon our arrival, we came across a dark-skinned man carrying a bundle of sticks on his head. We said to him, tell us, who is your creator? Allahu Akbar. Hearing this question, the man threw the bundle of sticks on the ground and he sat on it. Then he said to them, don't ask me who my creator is. Rather, you should ask me in which corner of my heart does faith reside? Which corner of my heart has faith in it? The two individuals, they said, my companion and I stared at each other, faces in astonishment upon hearing the man's mystic response. Why don't you respond, he said. Ask me. Verily, a student should not shy away from asking questions. Unable to respond to the man's questions, we remained silent. Noticing our silence, he said, he implored Allah Azza wa Jalla, O great majestic one, you know extremely well you have servants whose du'as are accepted, and you certainly fulfill their du'as. And this person in the middle of the desert that had sticks on his head, that he put on the ground, he said, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, please transform my sticks into gold. Hardly a moment had passed since the utterance of these words when the bundle of sticks had transformed into gold. He then said, O my Lord Azza wa Jalla, undoubtedly your most beloved servants are the ones who have no desire for fame. Ya Rab, transfer these gold bricks back into sticks. No sooner had he done this dua than the gold bricks, they turned back into sticks again. My dear Islamic, pious people, they're very important in Islam. You know, if you want to appoint a particular individual to a certain status, a certain position, don't just look at his worldly wealth. Look at how pious he is. It's narrated in a Ya'ulum that there was once a Sufi saint who had a young disciple, a young Marib. The pious saint, he gave tremendous respect to a certain Marib. He gives tremendous respect to a certain Marid. The other Marids, they got jealous. And they said to the saint, that why is it that he's a younger student of yours? He's a young student of yours. We've been your Marid for so much time, yet you're giving him more respect, you're giving him more love, you're giving him more time. What about us? And the pious saint, he got birds, some live birds. And he gave them to all of his Marids, including this young disciple. And he said to them, I want you to take these birds and I want you to go somewhere and slaughter these birds where nobody can see you. So they all went and they all came back. But the young Murid, he came back with the bird in his hand. And the saint said to him that, you know, I told you to go and slaughter this bird. Why didn't you slaughter it? Now all the other students are thinking, you know, he's not even... How can he be so respected in the sight of this sheikh, yet he's not even done this? the sheikh has ordered us to kill this bird, he's not even done this, and yet he respects him so much. The young murid replied that I was unable to find a location where I wasn't being watched by anyone, because Allah Azza wa Jalla sees us everywhere. And the other murid, then they realized that this is why this particular student is given a high status in the court of this particular saint. Along with his eminent father, Mulana Mufti Naqi Ali Khan, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ramutullahi Ta'ala, they visited the blessed court of Hazrat Shah Ali Rasul Ahmad Qadri, Ramutullahi Ta'ala. And he was initiated, that he took birth in the Grand Qadri Sufi order. Not only did his Murid-e-Kamil accept his birth, in fact, he also granted Allah Hazrat the authorization, the ijazat, to initiate other people into all spiritual orders, as well as the role of the Sheikh's deputy Ayat Khilafat, and the authority to transmit hadith on his behalf as well. Now the interesting point here is that Shah Ali Rasul Ramatullahi Ta'ala was actually very cautious with regards to giving any ijazah to anybody. He didn't just give ijazah to anybody. So Allah Hazrat turned up to his place, took birth of him, and as soon as he'd taken birth, then his Sheikh basically give him khilafah, give him ijazah, and give him all these things. So they said to him that, you know, normally his other students said to him, Your Highness, Khilafat in your family is only rewarded following tremendous spiritual exercises and struggles. But you then immediately given the Khilafat to Allah Hazrat. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Shah Ali Rasul Rahmatullah explained that the reason for and the significance of his decisions, he said, people usually arrive here, when people come to me, they come here with filthy hearts. They come here with hearts that need work on them. But this particular person, Allah Hazrat, when he came to me with a refined soul. He came to me with a clean, pure heart. He only required the connection. He only needed the nisbat. And then he declared to the people in the old room, everybody in the room, he says, a concern has bothered me since many days. Now I'm no longer concerned about this issue. And they said to him, what is your concern? What are you worried about? And he said that on the day of judgment, when Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask, Ali Rasul, what have you brought with me? Then I will say to them that I have brought Allah. Allahu Akbar. So my dearest learned brothers, we've learned that piety and abstinence, that is the criteria for approval and merit in the eyes of the Islamic saints as well. Fame is definitely not the sole criteria for excellence. Age is definitely not the criteria for distinction. Beauty and physical attraction is definitely not the criteria for distinction. Exterior sophistication is definitely not the criteria for distinction. Possessing academic diplomas and degrees and being a PhD is not the criteria for distinction. Being a millionaire is not the criteria for distinction. Owning a big vehicle or a top-end phone or a new phone is not the criteria for distinction. Being a smart talker is not the criteria for distinction. Being a posh dresser wearing nice top clothes is not the distinction for the criteria for distinction. Hajjatul Islam Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali Ramatullah states in Hayaluhum, undoubtedly on the day of judgment, people who will be closest to Allah Azza wa Jalla will be the ones who experience long periods of hunger, thirst and sadness in the world. These people are hidden from the eyes of common people. They are devout people. If they are present in the crowd, they are not recognized. If they are absent, they are not sought after. Pieces of the earth recognize them. Angels of the sky surround them. Normal of the people are delighted with material possessions, yet they are delighted by submitting to and obeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whilst normal people, human beings, spread soft and cozy beds beneath themselves, they spread their foreheads and knees on the ground, doing sajda. Whilst normal human beings turn away from the blessed lifestyles and practices of the Anbiya, these people emulate them. The earth cries when one of them dies. Allah Azza wa Jalla is displeased with a city where there is not a single person of this caliber in that city. Those individuals who do not pounce onto material assets the way dogs pounce on carrion, rather they eat little, wear old clothes, the hair is scattered, the faces are dusty. People assume them to be sick, but they're not sick. People assume that they have physical problems and they have lost their minds, yet they have not lost their minds. As a result of contemplating and pondering about Allah Azza wa Jalla, this world has departed from the hearts. In the opinion of worldly humans, these individuals walk as though they are insane. Yet the intellect shall remain safe. When all humans will lose their minds, they shall be designated lofty stations in the afterlife. If you happen to witness any of them in a city, then you should believe that they are a means of security for the residents of this city. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not punish a nation wherein such individuals reside. The earth is delighted with them, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with them. Treat them like brothers. The time shall soon arrive when you will attain salvation through their wasila. But Islam brothers as well, what happens is that individuals, when they try and rectify themselves, and another thing that happens is we don't help them either. People try and reform their characters, but we don't also help them. So what happens is sometimes you'll have a person that's, maybe he wasn't a good person in the community. Maybe he's listening to this speech today. Maybe he's at home right now listening to this speech and he's made an intention to make a change in his life. He's made an intention to make a change in his life, but what happens is we don't help him. And when I say that, what happens, I'll give you an example. There was a person, an individual, he listened to a speech that I'd made on drugs, on intoxicants. Now, I don't know how he'd listened to the speech because he wasn't actually at the masjid. He maybe listened to it on the internet or something like that or whatever. But he found out my address. And some weeks later, he wrote me a letter. And unfortunately, he didn't put his own address at the bottom of the letter, and that was the problem. And he wrote in this letter, he said, I listened to what you said. I did Tawbah from taking drugs. Right? I decided that I'm going to have a clean life. I also decided that I'm not clean enough to enter the masjid until these drugs are out of my body. So he read his namaz at home for a period of time. And when he felt as if he was clean, when he felt as if he was pure enough in his own eyes to enter the masjid, to enter the house of Allah, he came to the masjid. When he came to the masjid, whatever masjid he came to, the people didn't welcome him. The people looked at him. What's he doing here? What's he up to? He's not going to come here and steal anything, is he? Yeah? He's not going to try and sell drugs in this place, is he? He's not going to do this, is he? He's not going to do that, is he? And that person, he wrote in the letter that I went back out of the masjid. I left the masjid. And he wrote in the letter, I'm never going to the masjid again. Why? Because of how we welcomed that person or how we didn't welcome that person. People try to change. People try to reform themselves. Yeah, there may be people listening today that don't, unfortunately, are those people amongst us that don't read the namaz. Yeah? But they want to change. But we need to also help them. We need to welcome them. If somebody comes in here and he's the biggest drug dealer in Manchester, he's the biggest crook in Manchester, he's committed all sorts of sins, then welcome him. Can you not understand how hard it is for him to come into the masjid? He's never been to the masjid all his life, maybe, and now he comes and you shun him and kick him out of the masjid. That's not the way. There was an incident once where a certain non-Muslim, he was drinking alcohol. On a Friday night, Saturday night, he got drunk. And when he was drinking alcohol, he was walking the streets. And as he's walking the streets, he puts his hand on the door and the door opens. And he goes inside. And when he goes inside, his stomach starts rumbling because he'd had alcohol inside his stomach. And he was sick. When he was sick, then obviously he felt relaxed and he felt comfortable and he laid down on the ground and went to sleep. When he woke up in the morning, he found that under his head there was a pillow. He found on top of him there was a blanket. He woke up and he remembered that he'd been sick. And he put his hand on his face, but he realized that his face was clean. He sat up and realized that people had taken his shoes off. He looked around him and realized that he was in some sort of place of worship. He stumbled into a masjid. In the middle of the night, he stumbled into the masjid that was open. 5 minutes later, the imam sahab comes with a tray. It's got breakfast on it. Now this person is very embarrassed. He's very embarrassed about what had happened. And he says to the imam sahab, I'm sorry about what happened. And the imam says, it's okay, don't worry. That individual, because of the actions of that imam sahab, because of the welcoming of that imam sahab, within a couple of hours, he accepted Islam. Whereas when people come to our masjid, that have lived a life of sin, how do we welcome them? So again, we need to change. We're talking about piety. We're talking about people trying to be pious and trying to live our lives as piety. But what sacrifices are we making to try and be pious? We've explained to you today that you need to be pious. You need to try and be pious. You need to change your life and be pious. But this involves sacrifice. Remember that person at the beginning when he said, I will take a job only if I can read my namaz 5 times a day behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sacrifice, and we can't even make that sacrifice. And we're not in a position, I don't think we're in a position where we can say to ourselves, okay, if I don't take this job, I will not survive. Nobody dies of hunger in this country. So you should be in a position, each and every one of us should be in a position to pick and choose them jobs, pick and choose that lifestyle that suits our Islam, that allows us to follow the deen of Islam. We have no excuses. What will happen? Or if I don't take this job, I won't be able to build that koti as quick. Because this other job doesn't pay as much. If I don't take this job, I won't be able to get my children married as quick. We'll be able to read your namaz 5 times a day. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider of everything. You need to have that iman inside you. What is written in your name, what is written in your name as your rizq, you will get that. It is up to you how you want to earn it. If you are destined to become a millionaire, you will earn a million. But it's up to you whether you want to earn a million by halal means or earn a million by haram means. What is in your destiny is in your destiny. But we need to change. As we said today, we need to try and become more pious. We need to try and please Allah Azza wa Jalla. We need to try and compete with each other in trying pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla. So my dear Islam brothers, please, today, make an intention that I'm going to try and make myself as pious as possible. There's no such thing as piety. There's no line in the sand as piety. Asaniya, that if I cross this land, I'm pious. We should continue struggle. There's a person whose father had passed away. And before his father had passed away, we went to his house many times to try and give him niki kidal, to try and invite him for masjid, but he wasn't interested. And then one day when his father passed away and we went to see him, he said to me that, brother, I want to be pious like you lot. And he says, when I'm pious like you lot, like you brothers, I'm going to grow a beard. When I'm pious like you lot, I'm going to read my namaz 5 times a day. So I said to him, brother, put a line. Yeah, I was on the table. I said, put a line on this table and tell me that when you're at this side of it, you're not pious. When you're at that side of it, you're pious. He says, what do you mean? I says, when do I know that you are pious that you're going to grow a beard? When do I know that you're pious that you're going to start reading namaz in masjid? And he thought for a while. And he says, there isn't a line, is there? I said, no, there's not a line. He says, what are you saying? I said, if you want to become pious, if that's what you call it, then start today. He said, so, shall I start growing a beard today? I said, up to you. Shall I start reading my namaz 5 times a day? I said, of course. From that day, alhamdulillah, I know that particular brother. From that day to this day, as far as I'm aware, whenever I've gone into that masjid where he lives, he's always in the first step. He drives a taxi, but he's always there with his beard, and he's there with his mama sheep, and he's there, and he lives his life. And his life revolves around the masjid. His work revolves around the masjid. He has made a change. So there's no line in the sand. Don't say to yourself, well, I can't do this. I can't become pious. I can't do this. You can all make a change. You know, someone once said to me that if you commit sins, whatever sins you commit, why do you commit them? And the person said that people commit sins, why? Because they enjoy it. They have pleasure in it. If you drink alcohol, they enjoy it. If you commit adultery, they enjoy it. If you gamble, they enjoy it. Whatever sins you commit, they enjoy it. Right? And why do you not do good deeds? Because it's hard. It's hard getting up at Fajr, it's hard coming to the masjid. And the person went on to say that whenever you commit a sin, that pleasure that you get doesn't last forever. What lives with you? The sin. The sin stays with you forever. And getting up at Fajr in the morning, going to the masjid, lifting that heavy blanket and getting it and doing wuzu with cold water because your boiler's not working, walking to the masjid because it's raining and in the masjid the heater's not working, reading the namaz while you're shivering, that pain, that struggle, that cold, it all disappears. What stays with you? The good deed stays with you. So never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure, but never leave a good deed for the sake of the pain or the struggle. My dear Islam brothers, please, make a change in yourself. Make a change in yourself today. Today is the day that we all change ourselves. Today is the day that we all make an intention that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we'll read our namaz 5 times a day inshaAllah. With jamaat inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Make an intention. Make an intention. Don't let shaitan beat you. Shaitan will do everything. When you walk out the door, he's going to say, yeah, but it's okay, but get up in the morning, get fajr, you're going to be struggling for work, you're going to be tired when you go to work, you're going to be this, you're going to be, all these whispers are going to come in your ears. So this is the reason why I can't get up for fajr. I can't go and read my Zuhr namaz because of this reason. I can't read my Asr namaz because of this reason. I can't read my Maghrib namaz because of this reason. Isha namaz, I've got friends coming in to see, I can't read my Isha either. These are all shaitanic whispers. Make a change. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said as well. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.